Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
On a mixtape just around the corner, did a lot in California. Can't wait to drop this, don't you? Yeah, they gon' have fun with that. Smash like song, and my song's gon' break through like a rocket.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the podcast that is always up to speed with Formula One. Mark Daly here, welcome you back on Sunday, October 29th, 2023, couple of days away from Halloween. Flying solo again tonight, Mark Hamilton has been busy doing a reno of his house over the last couple of weeks here, and I talked to Mark this afternoon. He was up at 2 a.m. It's one of those things, he got up in the middle of the night to get a drink of water, realized the state that his house was in, and actually started working in the middle of the night to get this thing done. When I talked to him earlier this afternoon, he was tired. He'd been up working all weekend. And I said, Hammy, don't worry about it. We've been kind of trading back and forth and filling in for each other over the last couple of weeks. Well, I was away for work and then he was away for work and vice versa. And on and on it went. And he needed a break. So anyways, I'm here by myself to recap some of the action that we saw over the past couple of days at the Mexico City Grand Prix at the Autodromo Hermanos Rodriguez. Almost said that flawlessly. It is late on a Sunday night. I myself have been extremely busy with work over the past month, and sometimes things just don't come as naturally and as seamlessly as usual. I've been in dire need of a break, and after this week, I'm hoping that things will finally calm down, and you know, the long days will be behind me for hopefully a very, very long time to come. Anyways, before I jump into it, just want to give a quick shout out to the Race Weekend magazine. You can check them out at theraceweekend.com. That's RACEWKND.com. And if you like what they do and you decide to purchase a subscription, use our promo code at checkout, ScuderiaPod, and you'll save 10% on your subscription. Also, check out RaceKingExclusives.com. They have supplied us, you know, gifted us with this beautiful autographed 1/2 scale Max Verstappen helmet to give away to the winner of our Fantasy League this year, which we'll be doing in just a couple of weeks from now. Crazy to think that we're only just only a few days away from November. There's like, what, 3 races left on the calendar. So we'll be at Abu Dhabi, at Yas Marina, only 3 weeks, 3.5 weeks, whatever it is. It's the end of the season is coming rapidly. Anyways, we will be able to give that away very soon. You can check them out at racingexclusives.com for unique Formula One merchandise that comes with a certificate of authenticity, so you know what you're getting is the real deal. Anyways, as I said, I'm flying solo today, and there are plenty of things to talk about. Max Verstappen winning in Mexico City, a record 16th win of the season, and certainly there were some talking points about that. So, well, let's just go down quickly the race results. Obviously, I would think, hope that all of you've seen the race so far. If you're tuning in to find out what happened to the race here, I'm going to set up really quickly. Anyways, Max Verstappen wins this one. Lewis Hamilton comes home P2 on the podium. And then you have Charles Leclerc for Ferrari, who was also on pole for this race, rounding out the third step on the podium. They had Carlos Sainz, Lando Norris, George Russell, Danny Ricciardo. Yes, Danny Ricciardo in the AlphaTauri coming home P7. Oscar Piastri in 8th, Alex Albon in 9th, and Esteban Ocon in the first of the two Alpines, rounding out the top 10. So, a very, very interesting race. And, Well, interesting in the sense that maybe it didn't have anything to do with the championship, but with Max wrapping that up a couple of weeks ago and Red Bull also wrapping up the Constructors' Championship several weeks ago now, there were plenty of things to keep an eye on. McLaren struggled a little bit during qualifying. If we back it up and see how the grid set up, we had a Ferrari front row lockout, Charles Leclerc on pole, Carlos Sainz second, then you had a row two of Max Verstappen and Daniel Ricciardo. No, you did not hear that wrong. If you had, if you look at Charles Leclerc on pole, his Q3 time was a 1:17.166. Carlos Sainz's time was a 1:17.233. Max Verstappen a 1:17.263, and Daniel Ricciardo setting a 1:17.382. Very, very competitive time, and he was one spot ahead of Sergio Perez in the second Red Bull, and Sergio's time was a 1:17.423. So very, very interesting. And then just rounding out the rest of the top 10 in qualifying, at Lewis Hamilton, Oscar Piastri, George Russell, Valtteri Bottas, and Guan Yu Zhou. So there you go. Interesting there. And then you had, where do we have the Lando Norris just had a horrible qualifying, couldn't get out of Q1, but his weekend on Sunday went a lot better than it did on Saturday. But just want to talk about the start of the race here, because it really sort of sets up what we're going to talk about. So Ferrari front row lockout, and I believe that the run-in from start-finish is down to turn one, I believe, something like 800 meters, so a good half mile, very long, very fast, very straight. You had the two Ferraris and Max Verstappen and Sergio Perez all mixing up in the corner. When they got to T1, you had Max Verstappen, Charles Leclerc, and Sergio Perez all line abreast, Charles a little bit in between, Sergio trying to go around the outside. They collided. Sergio goes up in the air and goes into the runoff area at turn one, damages his car, and he's out by the end of lap one. Charles takes a little bit of damage. He stays behind Max Verstappen, who's taken the lead, and it stays that way for quite some time. Then you had Carlos Sainz behind, and that was the big talking point, right? That is the talking point, because Sergio Perez, he has had some struggles this year, right? And then, pardon me. Like I said, it's been a very, very long evening. You had in the final race classification, you had Danny Ricciardo coming home P7, which is in a very, very impressive time, because his teammate Yuki Tsunoda in the second AlphaTauri, not even finishing in the points, Yuki finishing P12 on Sunday afternoon. So that is a really, really interesting, and this is a topic that just isn't going to go away, right? We're going to be talking about what happened at that turn one and the way that Ricciardo went on to have a very, very competitive drive, mixing it up with all the front runners. Obviously that he was going to be at a disadvantage, because the AlphaTauri AT04 just is not as competitive as some of the other cars on the grid. It started out the season as probably one of the worst cars on the grid, but to see what Danny Ricciardo has done with that. And we have to take into account that Ricciardo missed a substantial amount of time after coming back partway through the season to replace Nyck de Vries at AlphaTauri. Only got in a couple of races before crashing at Zandvoort, breaking his hand, and then missing, a month and a half, 2 months, and only just returning back into the cockpit of that AlphaTauri in the last couple of weeks. So to qualify where he did in fourth between Max Verstappen and Sergio Perez is nothing short of amazing. And then to stick with it throughout the race, a 71 lap race, which is a fairly, that's a lot of laps that they put in to complete this race, to get the full race distance. And Danny Ricciardo sticking, keeping that P7, all of that is really quite impressive. Anyways, I'm going to come back to that in a minute. We've got lots of really good quotes here, and I want to get into some of those. The most obviously, the one that we want to hear from first of all is from Christian Horner, the team principal of Red Bull. So speaking to Sky Sports after the race, Christian had a number of things to say about this, and he said, quote, where he was asked when about the difference in races that both Max and Sergio had on Sunday. He had the following to say, quote, "Yeah, I mean, very contrasting. Another amazing race by Max today. Total and utter dominance. But for Checo, just absolutely gutting home race. And he had a rocket ship launch and had so much momentum going into that first corner. You can't blame him for going for it to try and take the lead at his own race." Then he goes on to talk about Sergio and some of the problems difficulties that he's had. Horner went on to say, quote, "Look, he's got 13 years of experience in Formula One, and I think when you're going through a difficult moment, it's important to support him. I think that he was having a great weekend up until that point, and he was going for the lead at his home race in Mexico City with the crowd that's an insane amount of support behind him, and three doesn't go into one, and unfortunately, he was just on the wrong side of it," end quote. So Danny Ricciardo, though, gets a little bit of praise here from Christian when he was asked about Ricciardo's weekend. The former Red Bull driver and current AlphaTauri driver was described by Christian Horner in the following words, quote, "You couldn't be failed to be impressed by Daniel this weekend. I mean, his qualifying was outstanding yesterday, and he showed his maturity and experience and pace in the car. I think that fighting a Mercedes and an AlphaTauri for the best result of the year, it was a great performance. And had it not been for the red flag, he might have finished even further up. So he can take a lot of confidence coming back from injuries. He's had a rough time over the last couple of months having to sit on the sidelines, but that's the Daniel we're used to seeing. As we've seen in sport, confidence is such a thing, and his confidence is coming up. Checo, we just need him to have a confidence-boosting result, and he could have had it today, but it wasn't to be," end quote. So make that of what you will. It's really difficult now to really kind of get into what the thought process is going to be at Red Bull, what Christian Horner is thinking, what Helmut Marko is thinking. And I don't want to pile on Sergio Perez. I mean, he's obviously had some difficult moments this year. It hasn't gone exactly the way that he wanted. He's obviously going to be under a tremendous amount of self-imposed pressure to perform. But when you see these repeated incidents and these repeated weekends, I feel like over the course of the year that we've said quite a few times, geez, that was just a really rough weekend for Checo, right from P1 all the way to the race. And it'll be one of those things where he's going to be looking forward to getting out of there, getting on the plane, going home, clearing his mind, and then going off to the next race in a week, 2 weeks, whatever it is, and starting fresh again. Obviously, this season, we're I hate to say we're going through the motions or it's garbage time or anything like that, but the championships are decided. So, I mean, there are other lower points paying positions in both championships to play for. There's development. There's drivers trying to make a case for themselves. Ricciardo obviously seems to really quickly reestablishing himself as the Danny Ricciardo that we remembered before he left Red Bull to join first Renault and then McLaren, and then losing his drive at McLaren last year for Oscar Piastri, who's honestly has really grown into that role and has gotten better and better as the season has gone on. But Ricciardo taking that reserve driver role at Red Bull again and just getting back to where he needed to be. I mean, it was always a bit of a strange situation. I still remember vividly the day back in the summer in August of 2018 when Ricciardo made the announcement. I remember watching the video on social media. I think I was watching on Twitter at the time where Ricciardo, you know, announced that he would be leaving Red Bull, going to Renault and taking over there. Obviously, he was always going to feel in the shadow of Max Verstappen, who was very much on the ascendancy 5 years ago. You know, he'd won a number of races. This is prior to his first world championship, obviously, but Ricciardo could tell at that point that the focus of the team was going to be about Max Verstappen. He was the rising star and the one that possibly could bring the glory days back to Red Bull at Milton Keynes, and that's of course the way that it's worked out ever since. Three championships in a row, a couple of constructors championships for Red Bull, and Ricciardo, I don't know. It's hard to say if whether or not he has any regret for that. I mean, he had to look out for himself, his own career, and at that point, he thought that the opportunities would have possibly been somewhere else. Hasn't worked out that way, but to get back to where he's driving at right now, I mean, when he came back into the car in the middle of the summer at Hungary and some of the races in and around the summer break either side, you could tell that this was a driver that was shaking off a fair amount of rust, getting back to what what he used to do before going outside of the team for a number of years. And of course, the AlphaTauri is a completely different and unique car compared to the Red Bull, but getting back into the family, getting back into a race car, not a sim, and having to get his fitness back up to speed, learning how to drive the car and all those things. So, I mean, what he's done in a very, very small amount of time is very, very impressive. And until Red Bull decide what they're going to do, those questions are going to linger. People are going to ask the question, well, if Perez continues to struggle, as he's struggled at times throughout the season, even sometimes previously last year as well, and you have a driver like Danny Ricciardo that knows the team and is takes an AlphaTauri to P7 at the race this weekend in Mexico City, is really something I think is going to turn a lot of heads, and rightfully so, because Ricciardo really did an exceptional job. I mean, if Perez's weekend was notable for the way that, that he underperformed, and you can't blame him either for seeing that opening. He's obviously fighting to keep his drive at Red Bull, saw that opening, thought that he would be able to go around Charles Leclerc, because if he managed to get around the outside, that would have on turn one, he would have been nicely positioned to go into turn two, because turn one is a very sharp right-hander. Turn two is a very sharp left-hander, and then turn three back to the right again, so right, left, right. And had Checo been able to get around Leclerc, then he would have been really, really nicely positioned to go to go around him and take that position, maybe even take the lead at that point. It's all speculation at this point, but certainly it was there to play for. And I don't think that that you can really begrudge him or fault him for that, but as Christian Horner so rightly pointed out, that three cars don't go into one when you get into a corner, and the track there really isn't too wide at that point. We see cars shooting across the grass in the in that complex of turns. We saw it a couple of times this afternoon during the 2023 Mexico City Grand Prix, and we've seen it in the past, the last number of years that that this race has been on the calendar. However, for Sergio, as being one of only a couple of cars to not finish this race after it was all said and done, obviously runs rubs quite a lot of salt into the wound, because this is a driver that is, whether he wants to admit it or not, or if Red Bull doesn't want to come out and say the quiet part out loud, he is fighting for a seat. And let's face it, this is not a situation that is unique to motorsport, to Formula One. But if you are running that team, it is your job to be looking for the next star. You have to be looking out for the next Max Verstappen. You have to be looking out for the next Sergio Perez. There's of course going to be a bit of a difference in quality between what Max does and what Sergio does, but you can get the gist of what I'm trying to say. Same if you go and look at the NFL, for example. The Kansas City Chiefs would not be doing their due diligence if they were not right now trying to find the next Travis Kelce or the next Patrick Mahomes. That's just the way it is. I mean, from their point of view, they're obviously going to hope that Kelce and Mahomes are going to stay with that team for a number of years, stay injury free, win a lot of Super Bowls. That's of course what they're hoping, but it's the same in Formula One. You've always got to be looking for succession planning, looking for the next big thing to come along, that if maybe it's going to be a hot young prospect that you're going to bring and develop through your own system and bring up into the team at some point, or maybe you're one of the teams that has the financial clout in that that sort of cachet, that that real that intangible quality that everybody wants to come and race for you. Let's look at Mercedes or Ferrari. Like, those are teams that everybody on the grid would want to race for. Red Bull probably too. Maybe not quite as in a different way compared to Ferrari and Mercedes, obviously, who have road car divisions as well. But I mean, results and championships speak for themselves. So I think it's going to be a situation that is just going to get discussed more and more and more until they decide that they've gone as far as they can go with Sergio Perez. and they decide to bring Ricardo in, or they decide, you know, Checo's actually done a pretty good job. He's done everything that we've asked for. He's helped us win a Constructors' Championship again this year. He's won some races along the way in his career with Red Bull. And, you know, we're going to pick up that option for next year. We're going to extend him, whatever it is, and reward him for his loyalty. But if it doesn't happen over this offseason, I think that for 2025, it really becomes a topic of discussion. Like, we'll be going into a new era of Formula One in 2026. I mean, sure, that seems like a long way off, but, you know, 2024 seemed like a long way off too at the start of this year. And here we are, you know, just a couple of days away from the start of November, meaning that January 1st, 2024 is now, what, 62, 63 days away? So it's coming quickly. And in Formula One, where you need so much runway for drivers and developing cars and things like that, that really isn't a lot of time. Anyhow, I'm going to move on to the next subject, or the next story here in a moment, but I'm going to take a quick break first, have a quick message from our sponsors. We'll come back. We're going to just talk briefly about Charles Leclerc's perspective from that opening lap incident at Turn 1 with Sergio Perez, and we'll pick it up there in a moment after a short break from our sponsors, or for a message from our sponsors, so please don't go away. We'll be back in just a moment. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
All right, here we go. Welcome back. And Charles Leclerc, talking about him now, his perspective from that incident on lap one at the first corner there. We got tangled up with Sergio Perez. Obviously, he's going to have his own perspective, because as I sit here and just take a look at some of the pictures from today, they really were almost dead even. You know, you have Max Verstappen inside on the going into turn one. Then you have Charles Leclerc, maybe half a wheel, maybe a wheel length or width in front of Max, and then you have Sergio a little bit further ahead of Leclerc going around the outside in turn one. You know, did any of them really have the advantage? I mean, when you look at the overhead shot, the helicopter shot, and then some of the other in-car cameras, that really became a tight squeeze really quickly. So Charles Leclerc, he was interviewed after the race. He had a number of things to talk about, especially when he was asked about what happened. You know, the post-race interview, Charles had the following to say, quote, "A lot of booing, guys. I mean, honestly, I had nowhere to go. I was in a bit in between the two Red Bulls, and unfortunately I touched Checo, but I had nowhere to go, so it's life. It damaged my car, and unfortunately it ended the race of Checo. But yeah, on our end, we maximized the race, so it's life. Of course, I'm disappointed to end the race of Checo like that, but I really didn't do it on purpose. I had nowhere to go." Then he goes on to say, to talk a little bit more about the rest of the race, talks a little bit about the battle he had with Lewis Hamilton, and Charles had the following to say, quote, "We struggled struggled a little bit with the hard after the restart. Lewis was really quick on the medium, and then they just managed to have a really good degradation. So yeah, they were just better today, and it's life, end quote. That's like three or four times that Charles said, yeah, so that's life, or something to that effect in that that short little answer that he gave to media after the race today. Very, very philosophic philosophical from the Monegasque driver. But I think if you're Ferrari, if you're Charles Leclerc, I mean, it's better than you probably expected. I mean, they continue at times to struggle, and things just don't always work out the way that they want. I mean, a lot of the things that the incidents that happened with Ferrari are quite self-inflicted. I mean, let's be honest. But at the end of the day, despite sustaining that damage on lap one, Leclerc still manages to hold on to that that final podium place ahead of his teammates. Then, you know, I think that, you know, that's still a really good result, because Hamilton was flying today. Verstappen's always flying. I mean, it's impossible for anybody, including his own teammate, to keep up with them. So, you know, good luck to anywhere else. But I think Charles Leclerc should be pretty happy with that. And, you know, when you take a look now at the Constructors' Championship, I should have done that off the top of the show. But if you look now and see where they're at, you have Red Bull, obviously, miles ahead of everyone. They got 731 points. Mercedes second in the Constructors with 371. So, I mean, there's literally a country mile between Red Bull and their nearest pursuer. Then you have a Ferrari third with 349, McLaren 256, and Aston Martin with 236. So, and I guess kind of going back to the discussion, you know, what I was talking about just before the break with Sergio Perez, and, you know, perhaps some turbulence with his tenure at Red Bull. The fact is of the matter is, even though that he's struggled, he still has helped them win a Constructors' Championship this year. And sure, you can make the counter argument, yeah, well, Mercedes haven't had a great season and don't have a great car. Neither do Ferrari. McLaren do have a good car, but it took them half the year to figure out what was going on with it and design, develop, and implement the upgrades and changes to that car before they could really make a difference. So they're a non-factor. And Aston Martin, despite the fact they started so strongly at the beginning of the season, have slowly tailed off and have really declined from where they were. You know, forget the start of the season, but just even a couple of months ago. So I think that just going back to Sergio Perez, the point I wanted to make is that if the Constructors' Championship was a lot different than it is, and they didn't win that Constructors' Championship, maybe that conversation. What are we going to do, we being Red Bull, what are we going to do with Sergio Perez if Danny Ricciardo, Liam Lawson, etc., these other drivers that we have in the system are doing or did so well for us? Does it really make sense to keep Sergio Perez in that in that car? And I think for now that the answer to that question is yes, but it's quickly followed up with a comma, but for how long? You know, because I don't think that it could go on forever, because the other teams are definitely starting to close the gap between themselves and Red Bull. The question is now, with only a handful of races left in this season, what can Red Bull do with this car over the off season? What is the 2024 contender going to be like? Is it still going to be as dominant as the cars that they've had for the past couple of years, or will the Ferraris, McLarens, the Mercedes, etc. of the world have closed that gap by the time we get back to racing in March of 2024? Or is it going to be more the same? Red Bull will accelerate and just disappear down the road, basically right out of the starting blocks, and taking the other teams, or forcing them into a very accelerated and very pressure-driven development cycle to figure out what's going wrong with the car. Maybe not what's going wrong with the car, but to get that car upgraded to make it more competitive again with Red Bull. And people just have not been able to do that over the course of the past couple of years. Anyways, that I thought was interesting just to hear Charles Leclerc's perspective on that. But another big moment in this race came at about half a race distance on lap 32. So you have that very twisty section in the latter half of the lap. The section of tracks is actually and properly perfectly named the S's in sector two, where he had a bit of believed to be a left rear suspension failure, which put his car very, very hard into the barriers on the left hand side of the road at turn nine. It really did a number on Magnussen's car. I mean, it wasn't just a little bit of damage. That car was heavily damaged. And Magnussen, he got out of the car right away. It wasn't like he was knocked unconscious. I mean, the impact was very, very heavy and had the potential to be quite, nasty. But fortunately, in this day and age, the way that the cars are built and the way that the survival cell, the cockpit is built into the parameters that are set out for safety requirements, that he was in the best place, obviously, he could be, no pun intended, safety-wise. But having said that, after he climbed out of the car right away, he climbed up onto those Tech Pro barriers, and you could tell that that something was smarting. Something hurt pretty bad. I mean, he kind of shook his hand a couple of times, and he just looked like he had his, for lack of a better term, had his bell rung. It looked like that very, very heavy hit had really, been felt by Kevin Magnussen. After the race, Haas had a bit of an announcement. They said, quote, Kevin is being kept in the medical center for a bit longer, just a standard observation. Incident looks to be suspension failure, possibly heat induced, end quote. There was a lot of debris to clear. The Tech Pro barriers needed to be reset for safety reasons. So there was a red flag period. Then we went back to a standing start. And before too long, it was back to business as usual, but the timing of that was really quite I would say perfectly timed, but it was just kind of funny the way that it happened, almost at 50% race distance during the afternoon. So hope that Kevin Magnussen is back to normal before too long, because like I say, he looked like he was really feeling the brunt of that impact immediately after jumping out of the cockpit. Let's talk a little bit quickly about Lewis Hamilton. He said sweet finesse was the key to the P2 that he recorded, that he earned. Let's be fair with the words here. He really earned that result. I mean, the Mercedes cars that we've obviously seen over the last almost two seasons now, not quite up to scratch compared to their predecessors. Obviously, not in the same class as the Red Bull RB19, but P2, that's a great result for Mercedes. Obviously, by their own very, very high standards, that's not what they want, nor where they really want to be. But I think at this point in the season, especially after the horrible year that they had, again, by their own standards in 2022, that they're back up there. They're not leading the constructors' championship, and they haven't all year. But especially Lewis is looking more the Lewis of old. He sounded very, very happy at the end of the race the checkered flag had been waved. You could tell that there was real joy in his voice, that he was very, very happy with the result that they recorded this weekend, because again, they were used to dominating Formula One. What we've watched Max and Red Bull do for the last season, almost two seasons now, that was Lewis Hamilton and Mercedes for basically an entire, the fair portion of almost a decade of Formula One, and maybe not so much in 2016, the year that his former teammate Nico Rosberg won his one and only championship after getting out and establishing quite a very big lead. I think it was about 43, 45 points, something like that, about four races into the season, whereas Lewis struggled a little bit that year. But other than that, I mean, Lewis has always been incredibly fast and consistent, and it's funny because if you kind of go back and listen to some of the different negative situations where was it Australia that he said why don't we just retire the car, he sounded very defeated, very, didn't sound like there was a lot of emotion or enthusiasm in his voice when he suggested to his race engineer that they just retire the car. But certainly today at the Mexico City Grand Prix, that that Lewis, he sounded like he was having fun out there. I don't think he would have been able to catch up and pass Max Verstappen, but you know, certainly not a result to turn your nose up at. Lewis after the race had a couple of things to say about his Grand Prix on Sunday afternoon, starting with the following quote: "I wasn't thinking about it was going to last, but I did some real sweet finesse. I was trying to drive like you." End quote. Anyways, being a little bit kind of cheeky when he was just talking, doing his interview with 2009 Formula One world champion Jenson Button, who had that reputation of being, you know, quite gentle on the tires, and Lewis trying to do that as well. Anyways, Lewis went on to talk a little bit more, saying a couple more things about his afternoon. Quote, "I feel fresh. We weren't having to push crazy hard out there, but this is a great result considering we started sixth. I'm really proud of the team. This is a really difficult couple of weeks, and to bounce back from a difficult weekend like last weekend with the end result, this is really well done." When he was asked about Verstappen and the way that he had a pretty trouble-free afternoon and setting that 16th win of the season record, Lewis had the following to say, quote, "I mean, to be honest, we were, of course, expecting, I think, an incredible season. Today, of course, we had to start P3, but I think the pace of the car was very, very good. We tried to do a different strategy everyone else, and unfortunately, with the red flag, we couldn't really show it, basically. But nevertheless, on those hard tires at the end, I think we are very, very strong," end quote. And, pardon me, that wasn't Lewis Hamilton, that was Max Verstappen that was you know, speaking at the end. He didn't really have too much to worry about. I mean, once he got through the mayhem at the first corner on the opening lap, it wasn't like he was coasting, but certainly when you have one rival being eliminated from the race and the pole sitter and Charles Leclerc suffering some damage, Max at that point must have been feeling a little bit, I wouldn't say relief, but knowing that maybe the threats might not be coming. They'd be more limited at that point after the accident at turn one between Charles Leclerc and Sergio Perez. Another driver that deserves some credit for what they did on Sunday afternoon is McLaren driver Lando Norris, who came home and was, well, by the time it was all said and done, finished P5, which was pretty good considering where he started from. He was way down on the grid, didn't make it out of P1, and finished a couple of places ahead of his teammate Oscar Piastri, who after qualifying started the race in seventh, and then by the time it was all said and done, Piastri, you know, dropping a spot and finishing in eighth, whereas Norris shot right up through the race order on Sunday afternoon, and to just be a couple of places off the podium by the time it was all said and done is really, really something that he should be proud of, because he did some incredible things there out on the track. So basically, he put that down to the awkward spots that he passed. I mean, the move that he put on Danny Ricciardo, I think it was turn four and five, a left-hander and a right-hander, was really quite something as well. Just showed a lot of bravery, a lot of control, and a lot of spatial awareness for Lando to get around the outside of turn four, and then which placed him nicely for the right-hander going into turn five. Norris had a couple of things to say after the race when he's talking to Sky Sports, and he said, quote, "It's very special. It wasn't from 20th to 10th. It was from 14th to 5th. So it was against George and Alex Albon and Oscar Piastri and Daniel. So it was against some quick guys and some smart guys, but I played it all well. I played the overtakes well. I put them into awkward positions, and I managed to get past them all very quickly, which allowed me up to end up in P5. Then he went on to say, quote, "My main thing is just staying out of trouble, and it all paid off. So it's enjoyable racing like this, and I wish I could be a little bit further up. I think we could have challenged for some silverware," end quote. So, you know, wow, you know, that is a great result for Lando Norris. And, you know, he must have been wondering after, getting knocked out in Q1 on Saturday afternoon, my gosh, what do I have to do now to have salvaged my weekend somehow. Am I aiming for P10 in this one to try and get one point to say at least I got into the points? But that would have been, I think that would have been coupled with some knowledge on his behalf, and probably the team is like, yeah, sure, you fought back from where you did at the start of the race. You got into the point, you got a single point, but you would have had to have been thinking, this car was capable of so much more. And it was capable of a whole lot more, because in reality, Lando Norris, getting to where he started in 15th to, getting into the points and then finishing the top five, I think is absolutely fantastic. And just goes again to show the quality that the McLaren have in that car, but also the quality that they have in a couple of drivers. I mean, Piastri had a bit of a quiet afternoon. He finished P8, but the two of them have been really, really fun to watch since the Austrian Grand Prix back at the beginning of July. And certainly, I think that's something they have to be pretty happy with. So as I mentioned, I went down the race classification, the Constructors' Championship. Got one more story to quickly talk about, but let's just talk now quickly about the driver standings. So we have Max Verstappen, 491. He is the 2023 Formula One World Champion. Had taken that title for the third time in a row just a couple of weeks ago. Still leading his teammate Sergio Perez, who has 240 points. Lewis Hamilton only 20 points behind Checo now. As I said, Checo with 240, Hamilton with 220. Then you have Carlos Sainz with 183, and he's ahead of Fernando Alonso, who also has 183 points. And then the other drivers in the top 10, are Lando Norris, Charles Leclerc, George Russell, Oscar Piastri, and then Pierre Gasly rounding out the top 10 in the 2023 Formula One Drivers' Championship. Final story, and I'm glad to hear that this was dealt with really quite swiftly, but after the race was over, or probably even during the race now, I can't remember the first time I saw this, but there was a very unpleasant video that got circulated around social media. I saw it on X, and it was a couple of fans having an absolute brawl, a Donnybrook, if that is even a word to use in this situation. But there was just a really nasty, nasty fight in the stands in that stadium section right at the end of the lap there. And of course, that garnered a whole lot of negative reaction from fans, and prompted some swift reaction from Formula One. That was the only noted incident of violence. It really got a lot of coverage. The video went viral on Sunday afternoon. it was good to hear, because Formula One has decided to ban that that fan for life, because it was a Ferrari fan and Red Bull fan mixing it up, and the fan that started the fight was immediately kicked out of the race and has been given a lifetime ban from Formula One from ever coming back and watching another race in person. So I always hate to see things like that. And I've been sporting events before in the past where I've seen fights in the stands, and I don't know exactly what to kick this one off. The ones that I've seen in person tend to be alcohol related, and especially sometimes when you're sitting outside in the sun, you get the combination of long, hot, sunny days, hot weather, and alcohol. People make bad decisions. I don't know if that was something similar, but as unpleasant as it was, I was very, very happy to see that that Formula One stepped in so quickly, that the authorities were there, got the troublemaker out of the facility, and have now banned him for life. So I think that was a good resolution. Hope the person that was also involved wasn't injured too bad, because like I say, I hate seeing that that sort of stuff. Anyways, I'm going to wrap it up here for now. As Mark and I keep saying, the other one that was missing, whenever that was, this pairing that we have, we'll be back on the show for the usual weekly news show on Wednesday or Thursday night, depending on our schedules this week. Probably Wednesday night is when the weekly news show will drop. But until then, thank you so much for listening. If you want to get in touch, please slide into our DMs on X, and you can find us there at Scuderia F1 Pod, and then you can also email us conventionally, and you can do that at scooteryf1pod@gmail.com. Had just a couple of really nice emails. I'll just read those quickly since I got a couple of minutes here, and don't do mailbags as often as we should. So the first one comes from Anja Ferrara, and Anja's email says the following: "Hey Mark and Mark, I just wanted to send you a quick note and thank you for cranking out so much good F1 content. I'm a Potter, and an ultra runner from Albuquerque, New Mexico, and you guys keep me informed and entertained when I'm working in the studio and running through the desert. I never miss an episode. I figured I'd let you know that all your hard work brings a lot of joy into my life, even when times are tough. Keep it up, and I can't wait until the band is back together." Well, thank you so much, Ange. Both I shared this email with Mark. We're both very touched to hear that, and we're part of a big community here, and we're the ones sitting here and cranking out the podcast, but we love hearing from people and talking Formula One with all of you, and love hearing that. And good for you for being an ultra runner. That is one physical activity, workout. I assume probably the right word is a lifestyle that absolutely I find so impressive. I know a couple of ultra runners myself, and while I consider myself to be in good shape, and that is next level stuff. So glad that we keep you company in the studio, and also when you're out there pounding out those miles on a run. That's great to hear, and thank you so much for the email, Ange. The next one is from Adam Fernandez, and Adam was just wanting to know what the song, the music is at the end of the podcast. So that is a bit of a bespoke music, outro music that Mark and I had produced a couple of years ago that we hold the rights to. So the only way you can listen to it is just to listen to the end of the pod. It's a bit of a catchy one, and we like to throw it in there. And of course, our intro music has been put together by our JT the Human, and that was put together by our good friend Micah, and who's a producer on that. And you can find him at DJ Vinyl Richie, which I think is a great Twitter handle. If Micah's still active on X, haven't checked it recently, but I know a lot of people have left that platform in recent times. Anyways, that's it for me now. It's pushing midnight here on Sunday night, and I'm getting a little bit sleepy. I got a couple of hours of post-production to do before this one shows up in your feed on Monday morning. But hey, it's a good way to start a Monday, I hope, is to plug a little bit of a Scuderia into your morning rotation. I'm falling asleep here, guys. I got to wrap this one up and listen to us talk about Formula One. Anyways, we'll be back in a couple of days. Have a great week. Bye for now.